This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey there, it's Gary Parrish. It's Friday, February 21st, 2020. Welcome back to the CBS Sports I Own College Basketball Podcast, where we sometimes discuss camel fighting and leaky black. Matt Norlander is here with me, and we will get to this weekend's top games, most notably number 3, Kansas, at number 1, Baylor, soon enough, I promise. But Duke lost to an unranked team earlier this week by 22 points, and anytime Duke loses to an unranked team by 22 points, we're obligated to discuss it. Our NC State dude in Wednesday's mailbag wanted to know why NC State doesn't get much podcast love. Well, this one's for you, Catmo 123. All you had to do is beat Duke by 22 points. Norlander, you're in Waco. Like I said, we'll talk about that game soon enough. How badly, you tell me, how badly did the Blue Devils mess up their number one seed aspirations in Raleigh the other night inside Cat Barber Arena?
Is that what we're calling it? Not Chris Corciani Spectrum?
No, I think it's Cat Barber Arena.
All right, we'll go with Chris Corciani Court then. Okay, Cat Barber Arena, Chris Corciani Court. We're going to have to, by the way, I'm going to assemble a Google Doc so we can have consistency on this highest of levels here with this podcast. So we can know which schools are assigned to which. By the way, just so everyone's clear, I'm coming to you from Terry Teagle Arena. It can be none other than Terry Teagle Arena. And I believe, as the all-time leader in Baylor scoring, Lace Darius Dunn Court. So let's just set that on the record now before we get to that later. But I feel like Cat Barber is like nice college player. I just feel like there might be like, I don't know, 5, 8, 12, 20 more players you would have picked before then. Maybe
no, I don't pick by the only one I'm committed to making it after a legend is Terry Teagle Arena. Clearly, the rest of them I'm just interested in what sounds funniest to me, and Cat Barber Arena sounds funny to me.
Cat Barber Arena, indeed.
Like, if I couldn't have Terry Teagle Arena, I would have Tweety Carter Pavilion.
Tweety Carter. Well, shout out to the 83 national champs Wolfpack. The starting lineup probably feels like it should be in front of Cat Barber. But you know what? Here we go. CBA. They get the win, and the timing is hilarious because of the mailbag question that we had there. I think it did damage to Duke's one seed quest, because going into that game, I probably would have had it 5th overall, and now I would have Baylor 1, Kansas 2. I put more on San Diego State being undefeated right now. So I'd have them narrowly 3 ahead of Gonzaga, 4. And then once you got to the 2 line, Maryland 5, Dayton 6, Florida State 7, Duke 8 is probably how I'd have it now. But they can still get it. I mean, if Duke wins out, if it does not lose again, wins the ACC tournament, it's going to have a shot at a 1 seed. But I thought it was damaging. Did you see the stat I had late on Wednesday night about this was the worst loss that Mike Krzyzewski has ever had at Duke while being ranked inside the top 10?
I did see it, and I was about to say it on television, and then it just sounded like a mouthful, and I figured I'd screw it up, so I just left it completely alone, but it was interesting.
Yeah, it is a little bit of a mouthful, but I'll lay it out here. So since Mike Krzyzewski got to Duke in 1980, every single game Duke had played as a top 10 team, all of the losses it had incurred, and there haven't been many, they had never lost by 20 or more points until NC State on the road on Wednesday night. So a notable win for the Wolfpack, who, by the way, in getting that win, we'll give a little Wolfpack love here as well, put themselves at least on the radar to try and get into the tournament conversation. They have another good opportunity at home against Florida State this weekend. So that was good. For Duke, I will say this. I walked away from the loss with thinking this about Duke, which is now 5th in KenPom, and from New Year's Eve until the middle of January, Duke was cruising as the number one team at KenPom, and has since just slipped a little bit and a little bit and a little bit, and now it's 5th overall. But at 22-4, if you were, whether, you know, college basketball expert, hardcore fan, drive-by fan, or whatever, and you want to say, I just don't think – I look at Duke, and I just don't think that team has the goods to win a national championship. I will not completely disagree with you on that, but I can see where you're coming from because you saw them lose at home to Stephen F. Austin. That's a really good team. Don't get me wrong, but you lost at home in overtime to SFA. Didn't play well against Clemson. Lost. You had the back-to-back losses, then came against Louisville, beat NC State. But even then, there were some – like, you did beat Carolina, but it took a miracle to do so. The Boston College game, you looked terrible, went shot 1 of 15 from three-point range. And so there have been – and the Florida State game kind of came down to the last minute. Now, Duke won it, don't get me wrong. But if you want to sell on Duke in March, I don't think that that's necessarily unwise because it is just showing signs here or there of being vulnerable. I don't consider this to be a top five team in college basketball. And I know I used to be there earlier in the season, but I can't go there when – and the last size is when Vernon Carey Jr. has another awesome game and it doesn't even matter. It just kind of left me spinning a little bit. I mean, he went 27 points, 12 rebounds, 3 blocks. He was good. And Trey Jones was also pretty good. And it wound up not making any sort of difference. You lose by 22 points. So that's what had me thinking like, yeah, I don't know. I'm not as high on Duke as maybe I once was. Me being obviously the massive Duke hater that I am.
Yeah. I mean, that needs to be laid out.
Of course.
You come to this conversation with an anti-Duke perspective, so everything should be interpreted under that light. I've actually got Duke ninth right now, and I do rank mostly by resumes, bodies of work. I pay attention to what people are doing now and what happened when players were out and players come back, but I do mostly rank teams based on bodies of work. And I've got Duke ninth behind all of the teams you said, which were Gonzaga, Baylor, San Diego State, Kansas, Dayton, Maryland, Florida State, but also Creighton. Creighton's sneaky good. We talked about this, I think, in the middle of the night the other night. You know, Creighton right now has 8 quadrant one wins and 0 losses outside of the first quadrant. Duke only has 4 quadrant one wins. Mm-hmm. They're 4-2 in quadrant one, 6-1 in quadrant two. So Duke is 10-3 in Q1/Q2 opportunities with a Q3 loss to Stephen F. Austin. So I'm with you in the sense that they can get a number one seed, but they are really fighting an uphill battle right now, especially for this reason. Like, I don't think San Diego State's losing. And so they're going to be – I don't know if you know this about college basketball in Orlando, but you got to have four number one seeds. You got 4 number one seeds.
That's that. So, I've heard that might have to be the case, yes.
Okay, so you got to have 4. There's only 4. Okay, so if San Diego State's not losing, they're definitely one of them. And I don't think San Diego State's losing. So now we're down to 3 spots. It's simple math. I think Gonzaga is going to get one. Now, Gonzaga could lose this weekend.
I mean, it didn't, but I went to bed last night, and they were trailing at halftime, and I was like, are we going to lead the pod tomorrow talking about Gonzaga falling to San Francisco? And then in typical Gonzaga fashion, like, it rolled the Dons in the second half. I'm with you as well. We're going to get to the game because I know that's got to be one of the 5. If it's not one of your 4, then it's going to be my 5th, but we'll see if what happened Thursday in the first half, GP, winds up, you know, showing itself over the weekend. But anyway, continue.
I don't know if you realize this. It's a 40-minute game, Norlander.
I do realize how long the game is. I was tired, man. Long day of travel. I had to pack it in.
I'm gonna keep asking you questions about very basic things. Like, do you realize that we gotta have 4 Final Four teams? I mean, everybody can keep saying I don't think anybody's good, but 4 of these teams are getting to the Final Four. We gotta have 4.
And you gotta get 68 in somehow. That's right.
We gotta have 4 number one seeds. And it is a 40-minute game. I'm not concerned what the score looked like with Gonzaga on Thursday night after 20 minutes because it's a 40-minute game. I think they scored 49 points in the final 20 minutes to win by double digits once again. So I think Gonzaga's getting one. And then either Kansas or Baylor, and maybe both, but at least one of them is getting one. That seems crystal clear. And I think Dayton's going to get one because I don't think Dayton's going to lose again.
Okay, you're so going back on what you said like 3 weeks ago. I'll find the audio. When we talked about this, I said Dayton was going to get a one seed, and you were like, that's not going to happen.
I don't think that's true. I've been a big Dayton fan all season.
I'm not
– I don't think I would have ever said something.
Actually,
like that.
I have been hearing a lot about the Gary Parrish anti-Dayton bias. Only one of us actually went on a Dayton podcast this week, and it wasn't you. So maybe we need to start shining a light on just how much you don't like Anthony Grant and how much you have a grudge against Obi Toppin, and that's why you don't believe that team can get a one seed.
I love Anthony Grant. I love Obi Toppin. I love the Dayton Flyers. But on CBS Sports Network, we had a Obi Toppin feature, like a little 3-minute feature that we've ran it before, but we ran it again the other night, so I got to watch it again. And it is like the mother and Obadiah. Yeah. They're talking about, you know, it was my senior year of high school, and not a single Division I school was recruiting me. Like what are these people doing? Not even recruiting Obadiah. It's like, because you were 6'2". he went to prep school and then did a red shirt. He did a red shirt year. That's all it was academic stuff. But, like, he grew 6 or 7 inches since he was in high school. And so it's a little bit a lower profile Anthony Davis situation. The reason people weren't recruiting him when he was a senior in high school is because he was like a 6'2", 6'3", skinny guard. And now he's like a monster who I think is going to be a tremendous pro. But I love Dayton. And I don't think I ever would have said Dayton's not going to be a 1 seed. I don't think Dayton's losing. I think Dayton could get a 1. So right now, break it down like this. Kansas, Baylor, Gonzaga all have more quad one wins right now than Duke. People are totally dismissive of Gonzaga. Not all people, but some people. Oh, they don't play in a real league. Well, somehow they've ended up with more quadrant one victories than Duke right now. They've got 5. Kansas and Baylor have 10 each. San Diego State has the same number of quadrant one wins right now, 4, as Duke, and they have 0 losses. Dayton has 3 Q1 wins and no losses outside of the first quadrant. No losses in regulation. Both losses to ranked teams, Kansas and Colorado. Maryland has 6 Q1 wins right now. No losses outside of the first quadrant. Florida State's got 3 Q1 wins right now and only 1 loss outside of the first quadrant. Creighton, like I said, has 8 quadrant one wins right now. 0 losses out of the first quadrant. From my perspective, Duke is chasing all of them, and I don't think you're going to be able to pass enough of them to get into the 1 seed line. Not ruling it out, but I'd bet against it.
I would bet against it as well, and I stop short of saying Duke losing to NC State kills off its 1 seed chances, because I don't believe that's the case. But I do think that the way that the games shake out from here until we get to Selection Sunday are not going to allow Duke to get to the 1 line, which, by the way, is fine. The world's not going to end. It's totally reasonable, and they still got to try and fend off
the world might end.
Okay, it won't. But okay.
What if the world ends?
Well, then, you know what? We're sure going to find a way to get this podcast to you 3 times a week. That's what's going to happen, okay? And get world ends and Terry Teagle still getting a shout out.
If the world ending meant that you didn't have to do this 3 times a week anymore, would you be for the world ending?
No. What kind of question is that? Although I think I might know your answer. Let's just continue to move along here. Duke is not going to be able to jump over all those teams. It's going to get a 2. It might even get a 3. Louisville and Florida State are still vying, obviously. Those teams are tied atop the ACC standings, and those 3 in Virginia. And we'll see if anyone else can really crack in, but it feels like the ACC still might be just trending toward a 4-bid status. If you are curious, Louisville 13-3 in the league, and then Duke and Florida State both at 12-3. Duke does not get a chance against either of those teams again in the regular season. That's not true of FSU and Louisville, where those teams are going to play on Monday. We'll get to that, obviously, on the Sunday podcast when we preview it. But FSU has the benefit of hosting the Cardinals at home. It already has won against Louisville earlier this season. If it can get that, then FSU is going to be positioned nicely to get a 2, and it would have to do a ton to get a 1, but it's still there. So yeah, that's how it all shakes out right now. By the way, just as we're talking about Duke and stuff, I hate to disappoint our listeners if they thought this might be happening, but the soundbite wasn't quite good enough. But did you catch Mike Krzyzewski's thoughts on playing Xbox and how it compares to being involved in an actual basketball game?
I did not see this.
Oh yeah, no, it was. He was saying, you know, this is a real game played by real humans. It's not an Xbox. You know, it involves feelings and all this stuff. So I'm all for Mike Krzyzewski giving us different genres of post-game quotes. It's not quite getting to Roy Williams' level of despair, not even close. But yes, he did bring up the video game aspect of it. So I don't know if Vernon Carey or Trey Jones or Cassius Stanley, Wendell Moore, Matthew Hurt, I don't know if they've been, playing whatever games. I could not tell you. Gosh, we're so old. I could not tell you one, like, popular game on Xbox right now. You might be able to because maybe your son still plays them, but my kids are not old enough to play. So
my oldest doesn't play console games anymore. He looks down upon console games.
Oh, okay.
If you play a console, that means you're not serious about it, is the best I can tell. So he plays everything on a PC. He has a, quote, gaming computer.
Okay.
So he plays, like, CSGO and some of these other types of games. We do have a Nintendo Switch that I play with my young boys on, and we play FIFA.
FIFA's good.
Yeah.
I dig a little FIFA. You know what the only computer game that I ever really played back in the day? Do you remember King's Quest? Ringing any bells?
It rings a bell, but not a bell loud enough to make me remember what it was.
Treasure hunt game back in the day, early 90s. That was a classic. Classic stuff. Anyway, what were we talking about? Oh, yeah, Mike Krzyzewski talking about Xbox. So he had a little bit of a press conference moment there. But, yeah, so, you know, I got nothing else for you on Duke, I'll be honest.
I did see Mike blow right past Kevin Keats in the handshake line. Did you see that?
Are we going to make a thing out of this? Is that like – blow past is not accurate because he did stop. His gait was halted. They did shake hands, and then he continued to move along. But, yes, it seemed as though Mike was more determined to get through the line quickly than Keats. But also you got to realize that was the first time that Duke has had the court stormed on him this year, and then you know Duke has gone through that more experience more than anyone. And so from Krzyzewski's perspective, you had to get the team off the floor, so I get all that. So and then there was the photo captured afterward of Mike Krzyzewski congratulating Markel Johnson on an empty – student cleared floor.
Right, that was yeah, and that was nice. I just thought, like, I don't mean it about Mike. I just think coaches in general, like Kevin was very clearly trying to say something to him, and he just wouldn't even look at him. I think I'll keep it this simple. I think it's weird to not look at another human when they're trying to say something to you.
Parrish, I try and say stuff to you all the time, and you don't look at me. What are you talking about? Are you looking at me? Can you look at me right now, please?
I'm looking at you right now. I've been staring at you. You look good. Okay. You got a nice collared shirt on. You're all dressed up. Okay. They're inside Terry Teagle Arena.
I am inside Terry Teagle Arena. Only a few paces from Lace Darius Dunn Court. Yes, that's right.
One last thing on this, and then we'll move on. You mentioned earlier that, hey, if you're out there and you watch Duke and you say, listen, I just don't see a national championship team, you might not agree with that person, but you understand where they're coming from. You watched them lose at home to Stephen F. Austin. You watched them just get destroyed inside Cat Barber Arena in Raleigh against NC State. I will say this. The past five national champions have all ended up being top 11 in both offensive efficiency and defensive efficiency. That if you look for a common denominator between the past five national champions, that's it. It's not enough. At least it hasn't been lately, to just be a great defensive team or a great offensive team. You better be great at both. The top 11 in both offensive efficiency and defense efficiency. Right now, there are three teams in the country that are top 11 in both. Trivia time. Can you name them?
I can name them, but also that is a logical fallacy because if you win the national championship, that's how you get to top 11 status. I need to know how many teams in the past 10 years were top 11 or top 20 or top 30 heading into the tournament because by winning those games, that's how you continue to move up. That's why UConn, when it won the national titles, it was way, way down, but by a function of winning six games, it gets there. You see what I'm saying?
No, UConn didn't get there, so I don't see what you're saying.
Not top 11 specifically, but UConn greatly increased its offensive and defensive efficiency numbers after it kept beating really good teams in the NCAA tournament. You see what I'm saying? I guarantee you this, the past five teams that won the national championship were not both top 11 in O and D heading into the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, well, you're going to have to take that up with Kim Pomeroy.
Okay, well, I mean, if you want me to actually get the data and present it to you on the next podcast, I can do that. Anyway, the question is, what three teams are currently top 10, 11, O, and D? You obviously have Kansas that would be in there. San Diego State would be in there. And then what would the third team be? Good defense.
You could probably guess it given the team we've been talking about for the past however many minutes.
So it's got to be Duke.
It's the Duke Blue Devils.
It's
got to
be NC
Duke
State, actually. I take my answer back. It is definitely NC State.
Duke, San Diego State, and Kansas are all top 11 in offensive and defensive efficiency at this moment. So here's the thing, dead leg. They don't have to win six games to get there. They're already there.
That's a great point. You know what? You're absolutely right.
You got to put four teams in the Final Four, Norlander.
Do you realize that Baylor has been to 14 Sweet 16 since 2010?
I realize it now.
Yeah, you don't remember. You don't get the reference. I'm going to bring it back on the next podcast.
No, that's a podcast thing.
It is, but it started from a tweet. I'm saving it. I'm saving it because it's one of – oh, my gosh. Who did it? Who tweeted it? Who tweeted it?
Who tweeted – Adam Zagoria?
No.
Was it him or was it not?
It was not.
See, I love Zags, but that does seem like something he would tweet.
Oh, my gosh. All right. So there's going to be a lot of people that have been new to the podcast in the past 3 months or 2 years. I will bring back on the Sunday episode what we're referring to. It was Hoops Weiss who tweeted this. It was Hoops. I will replay. Oh, my God. I don't know if I've ever lost it more on a podcast than that. We're talking, this would have been like 2017, I think. It's been a while, but I will bring that back for the Sunday podcast. I might just tack that on to the very end, or maybe, you know, I'll put it somewhere in the middle, because we'll talk about Baylor no matter what, and we can relive that in person. That is just an all-time moment. I think that was it. It was the year 2017, and Hoops Weiss tweeted, Baylor's been to 14 Sweet 16 since 2010. it was so good. But anyway, okay, we can segue that, by the way, before we take a break here. But you want to talk KU Baylor here, buddy?
Yeah, let's talk number 3 Kansas at number 1 Baylor. It's Saturday. Tip's going to be at noon Eastern. We'll get into it next. First, though, check this out.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
So, Saturday, noon Eastern, number 3 Kansas at number 1 Baylor inside Terry Teagle Arena. Norlander right now is in Waco inside Terry Teagle Arena. What's the vibe there? Does it feel like you're in a college town that's about to have a massive basketball game?
There's certainly a buzz that one could potentially say is of the palpable nature. I can offer a few reports on the ground here. First of all, have you been to Waco before?
I have been to Waco.
Okay. Yeah.
There was a time where I didn't go there just to go there. I feel like maybe I was in Austin for a Texas game, and Baylor was playing a bye game like on a Friday night, or, you know, it's one of those deals. I'm going to Austin, and oh, Baylor's playing, so maybe I'll just pop over to Waco. And I popped over to Waco. I think Jeff Goodman and I went together.
Okay.
That's it. That's the whole story.
All right, fair enough. Solid town. I have not gotten a chance to see too much of it, but I did go. I mean, are you familiar with Chip and Joanna? Are you familiar with who these people are?
Chip and Joanna.
Yeah, do you know who Chip and Joanna are? When I say Chip and Joanna, do you know who that is?
Like, you have to understand, I don't even know all of my cousins. Like, I show up for Thanksgiving, and I have to try to figure out who's who. So, Chip and Joanna, that's a tough one for me. It's possible. I always say this to people. they'll go, hey, do you, hey, I'm friends with so-and-so. And they'll say a name like Chip, like let's say his name's Chip Smith. They'll say, hey, I'm close friends with Chip Smith. And I'm like, okay. And they'll be like, he says he's good friends with you. And I'm like, and then I always say this. It's possible he and I used to be roommates and I just don't remember. Like I'm not good at remembering people, which is why I hate it when folks walk up. You should never do this, by the way. And I don't mean you. I mean anybody listening. Never walk up to another person and say, you don't remember me, do you? I get that all the time.
But that puts you in a tough spot. Like, what are you supposed to do? Of course I remember you, Gerald.
Right, so I used to try to lie. And I would say, what do you mean I don't remember you? Of course I remember you. And then the whole time I'm trying to just figure it out. So now I'm so offended by you anxiously putting me in that position. I'm so offended that you want to put me in this awkward position. Hey, you don't remember me, do you? You don't know you don't remember my name, do you? That even if I do, I say, I do not remember you. I don't know your name. I'm not going to play along with this.
Okay.
This bad, bad game. Listen, don't ever ask somebody if they remember you. Just reintroduce yourself. That's the nice thing to do.
Fair enough. So,
I don't know. It's possible I wrote a story about Chip and Joanna and don't remember them. But fill me in. Let's see if you can trigger a memory.
You did not write a story about Chip and Joanna. You have unfortunately offended. Listen, every podcast ends with a shout out to Terry M.F. and Teagle. Baylor legend, of course.
He's a legend.
And so because of that, you have obviously brought a certain faction of the Baylor fan base in. But when they listen to this podcast and they're going to find out that you don't know who Chip and Joanna are, it's not going to be good for you. All right? It's not going to be good because you know what's going to happen.
Hmm.
The HGTV crowd's going to get on your ass. Okay?
Those
people.
I'm aware that there's some Waco residents who are very famous on television. I just didn't know their name, and I don't know their show. And that's not like I'm sure they don't sit around watching Inside College Basketball. It's not a big deal.
What if they do though? What if Joanne is a big Inside College Basketball fan? Hey, Chip is a big Baylor fan. You know what? I bet you Chip Gaines is a huge Ion College Basketball podcast listener. I'm sure.
You know what? How wild would it be if they're more familiar with me than I am them?
Okay, take it down a notch there, buddy. The point is, I think.
You tell me Chip's not up late one night watching a Fresno State UNLV game.
I'm going to put my money against that. He's going to – I've been told I believe both will be on hand for the huge game tomorrow. They are by far the most well-known residents of Waco, Texas. And they have a restaurant called Magnolia Table, which is one of those spots where if you're going to go eat breakfast there, you're going to have to wait in the line. But was me and Liz Edwards, our wonderful producer with CBS Sports HQ, who is within earshot of this podcast right now, and I'm amazed she hasn't grabbed the headset off my head, taken the mic, and cursed you out, because even when I, in advance of this trip, Liz is laughing at me right now as she's doing this, when I said, I think we're going to go eat at that restaurant with the HGTV people, she was like, Chip and Joanna? What? It's a whole thing, okay? Like, they are taking over Texas, all right? So when you ask...
If not for them being at a Baylor basketball game, I would have no idea who they are. I only know them as the famous people who go to a Baylor basketball game sometimes.
Do you know if I gave you a multiple choice, do you think you'd get the name of the show?
Is it something to do with houses?
Let's go with four options. Okay. I'm going to go with four options of actual shows on HGTV. Hold on. I got to think of two more here so that you don't get thrown, and I'll put them in a random order here.
HGTV trivia time.
HGTV trivia time right now. By the way, so people are like, let's just talk about the damn game. Hold on. We're going to talk about Chip and Joanna first. Do you realize the wrath of Chip and Joanna Nation when they find out? We're going to give them some love very much right now. Okay. So which of these four, this is a random order of HGTV shows, do you think are connected to Chip and Joanna Gaines? Trivia time.
Okay.
Are you ready?
I'm as ready as I'm going to get.
Are you sure?
I'm sure of that.
All right,
yes.
Here are the four shows. This is completely random order. Flip or Flop. Property Swap. Fixer Uppers. or house hunters?
I think they're house hunters.
They're not house hunters, Parrish.
They're fixer uppers.
They are fixer uppers. So shouts to Chip and Joanna, who are getting incredible amounts of run. I hope fans of Fixer Upper have found this podcast and enjoying it. Though there is a buzz. There's definitely a buzz. It's a sellout. There is a piece of news connected to this game, by the way. So Maceo Teague, who I'd love to see on Fixer Upper sometime. That'd be actually an amazing cameo.
What if he was on Fixer Upper and they just fixed that big capital C right in the middle of his first name?
Okay.
Can Chip and Joanna fix that capital C?
I like the capital C. I'd like that. You're not telling me you want your R to be a capital R?
I do.
You want that R in your name to be a capital R.
I'm so mad at my parents. I guess my parents didn't understand you could name your child anything and just put random capital letters wherever you want. Because they didn't name me Gary. Like, what is more boring than Gary? Like, why couldn't you name me Zion?
Okay.
Or Ja.
Well, you know, that's not his actual first name, though, right?
Yes, I do know that.
Yeah, Demetrius, shouts. So Maceo Teague suffered a wrist injury against Texas a week and a half ago. He has missed the past two games. He is listed as a game-time decision. He did participate in some stuff in practice on Friday, and that's not some big state secret. I talked about that with Scott Drew on CBS Sports HQ, and you can see those interviews airing all day Friday and in the lead-up to the game on Saturday. So will he or will he not be able to play? That's the big thing, because Teague is the second leading scorer for Baylor, and at the time of his injury was actually the leading scorer for Baylor in Big 12 play, even over Jared Butler. Having him would make a big difference. Teague told me, I spoke to him a few minutes before we started podcasting, that if it's up to him, he's going to play. He wants to play, but it's a matter of pain management, and if the wrist is good to go, obviously wrist injuries can be a little bit problematic, but fortunately it's just a sprain and nothing like a broken bone or anything like that. So we wait and see if he's on the floor. If he is, that can change things and how effective he can be. I think he will play, but that's just pure instinct. That's not me getting that from anyone anywhere. I get the feeling that big time game, he wants to be out there. They're going to try and give that a go. So keep that in mind going in. A few stats, GP, and then toss over your thoughts on this game. Obviously, the Baylor winning streak, which has been the biggest thing attached to Baylor as of late. They've won 23 straight games. It's the longest winning streak for any team in the Big 12 Conference since the league reformed from the Big 8 to the Big 12 in the mid-1990s. But I saw a stat earlier today, and shouts to David Kay, Baylor's outstanding SID. Get a hold of this stat. So Baylor not only continues to win, it's not trailing in games. Since December, it has held a lead for almost the entirety of the 92% of the time since December, Baylor's had the lead in a game. And it has only trailed in one game of the second half since the start of Big 12 play, and that was when it played against Oklahoma State. So they're not even falling behind there. Keep that in mind as we go into this game tomorrow. They are a reliable team, great defensively, and I think we're going to have an awesome one. If they can beat Kansas, it will be the first time Baylor's ever swept Kansas, obviously, because they'd never won at Allen Fieldhouse, and it will be only the second time Bill Self has ever been swept by any Big 12 team since he got to Kansas. Oklahoma State did it 2 years ago.
People keep asking me, I say it like every 5 minutes.
People come up to you, say, "You don't remember me, do you?" Then you insult them, and then they ask you this question. Go ahead.
No, people, I shouldn't overstate it. I've been asked, so what does Baylor need to do to win the national championship? And it's like, just be what they've been. Like they it's not like they got to get better at all these things to be a national champion, particularly in this year. It's a great basketball
team. Let me tell you something. You may not realize this, but it takes 6 games to win a national championship.
That's the thing people don't realize, is that you got to win 6 in a row. My other go-to that Brent Stover always likes. It'll be – somebody's about to play somebody, right? Utah State's about to play San Diego State. And Stove will say, "So do you think Utah State is going to have a chance in this one?" And I say, "Stove, you have to – the thing people don't realize, it's not a 7-game series. Just got to win one.
Just one."
I love reminding him that the NCAA tournament's not a 7-game series.
Imagine if it was. Oh, God.
What if the NCAA tournament was a 7-game series? Every game.
Every single game. It would
Virginia
take
had to
3 years.
Play UMBC 4-7 times. What if UMBC and Virginia went to game 7? Think about how pressure packed that would be.
college eligibility would last 10 years if that was the case. It'd be amazing.
It's in the NCAA tournament, you got to win 6 games in a row, and it is not a 7-game series.
It's not.
So anything can happen.
Do you have actual thoughts on Baylor's? How about this? What are your thoughts on Baylor's chances to sweep Kansas for the first time this season? These are 2 top 3 defensive teams in college basketball. I don't think Baylor has gotten some love, but I don't think people realize just how good this is. Potentially the best defensive team Scott Drew's ever had.
Yeah, top 3 in defensive efficiency, top 5 in offensive rebounding percentage at 36.5. So they're not an elite offensive team. Offensive efficiency rating ranks 22nd in the country, but they get more than a third of their misses. And so they create all these extra possessions, and that's how you end up 24-1, 23-game winning streak. Their chances to sweep Kansas? Sure. I mean, like, they're at home. They're arguably the best team in the country. I give them I pick them to win the game. How about this for a prediction?
Well, are you making the pick before the final 4-1? What are we doing?
Yeah, I figured we're going to talk about Baylor-Kansas here. So there's no sense to revisit it in the final 4-1 when there's so many other good games to focus on. So here's the prediction. Baylor wins on Saturday, and then Kansas never loses again.
For the rest of – until the world ends?
Until the world ends.
That's a hell of a prediction.
Kansas wins the national championship, never loses after tomorrow. Kansas loses Saturday, and then never loses again.
Well, that seems a little unreasonable, but we'll see how that one works out for you. Obviously, within the context of the season, you're talking about till Selection Sunday.
No, I mean ever.
All right,
never.
All right, guy. The rest of the season, here's what they've got. Oklahoma State at home, at K-State, home to TSU, at Texas Tech, then what may come in the Big 12 tournament. By the way, Devon Dotson is the number one player in KenPom's Player of the Year rankings right now. Udoka Azubuike is number 8. If you have a KenPom subscription and you want to go check out that ranking, it ranks the top 10 particularly. And so, obviously, Kansas is the only team that has 2 in the top 10, which is a rarity in general. Dotson is ahead of Garza at 2, Marcus Howard at 3, Malachi Flynn at 4, Vernon Carey Jr. at Duke is 5. His Player of the Year rankings are not dependent upon team win-loss records, and traditionally, obviously, Player of the Year tends to go to a player that's on a 1, 2, 3, or 4 seed. Dotson is in a good spot, but we'll see. Azubuike's been fantastic as well. If Dayton fans are wondering, Obi Toppin falls 7th on that list overall. I'll be interested to see what Kansas does to try and overcome what it couldn't earlier in the season when Baylor won 67-55 and got its first win in program history inside Allen Fieldhouse. So I do think we're going to have a tight.
That is not Allen Fieldhouse.
Well, I was going to say a player, but I don't know who you want to give that name to. I mean, who? All right, just go ahead with it.
It's Sherron Collins Fieldhouse.
Okay, that's good. I'll take it.
It's Sherron Collins Fieldhouse.
Okay.
Morse Twins Court.
All right. I got a partial feeling for Jeff Withey, but that's fine.
What if it was Jeff Withey Court?
It should be Jeff Withey Court.
What if one day you look up and inside Allen Fieldhouse is Jeff Withey Court?
That's what I want. That's really what it should be if we're getting down to brass tacks here. Jeff Withey Court. But
it's Josh Selby Court.
Josh Selby. It's definitely not Josh Selby Court. I can guarantee you that. It is not Josh Selby Court.
It's Tyshawn Taylor Court.
Oh, boy. Oh, gosh.
Tyshawn Taylor Court inside Sherron Collins Fieldhouse.
I'm going to take – I do think Macy Oteague is going to play, but I will take Kansas – and I had to write a preview for this on .com. If you want a little more of this stuff, get yourself hyped for, oh, by the way, the biggest game of the season so far. You've got the number 1 and number 2 teams at KenPom playing each other. Trivia time!
All right.
When's the last time the top 2 KenPom teams played each other?
I'm going to say it was that Oklahoma-Kansas Buddy Hill moment.
It wasn't, but it was earlier this season when Michigan State opened up against Kentucky in the preseason. I believe they were 1-2 in KenPom at the start of the season.
I swear to God, I almost said that.
But you didn't. That's the thing. You said freaking Buddy Hield in Oklahoma, which was an awesome game. If this game could live up to that, it would be incredible. It won't. That was just an all-time epic. I think this game will be decided in the 60s. I'll take Kansas like 67-65 or something like that. I think it'll be somewhere along those lines. And this doesn't count for the Final Four and one, so we won't add it to the record. But we both have – no, you have KU losing. I have KU winning, and then you have KU never losing again.
Right. Baylor wins tomorrow. Kansas never loses again.
Okay.
Into the world.
That just sounds like an incredibly bold prediction, right? I don't know if we'll ever have a bolder prediction in the history of this podcast.
I know, but just think about it. Like, it's not the craziest thing in the world that Kansas could win a national championship and never lose again after tomorrow.
It is. NCAA sanctions are coming, so that's going to happen. So, like, Kansas will be losing a lot eventually. It will be losing.
But not this season.
Not this season. Parrish has Kansas winning the national title. Mark it down. What's the point of even doing a Selection Sunday podcast, I guess? All right.
Let's go to the Final Four and one.
Let's do it.
I've already had enough of this. Saturday, 9 p.m. Eastern, number 14 Oregon at number 24 Arizona inside the Book Richardson Center.
No!
Yes, it's the Book Richardson Center. That's where Arizona plays. They call it the Book for short. Fill the Book.
I will have no argument on this. It can be that, but it's okay. All right. If that's what it's got to be, Book Richardson is fine. But you know what the court has to be, right? There's only one. There's only one player.
Larnell Court.
No player.
Who would be the player that would get the court?
Mustafa Shakur. That's the only option.
Mustafa Shakur court.
Mustafa Shakur court. That's
inside the Book Richardson Center. You can watch the game on ESPN. KenPom's got it. Arizona -5.
A great game here. This is a really fun one. So Oregon was not able to win on Thursday night. Arizona State did well for itself in getting another victory. Arizona State's on a nice little run here, entering into the NCAA tournament conversation. At one point, it was 12-8. Now, just a shout to Bobby Hurley and his Sun Devils. They are 18-8 and 9-4. And if they can win against Oregon State, you know, don't slip on the banana peel, then we can really start talking about the Sun Devils getting somewhere in the Pac-12, doing pretty well for itself. Arizona, meanwhile, gets another opportunity to win a home game. Didn't have any issue on Thursday night, romping Oregon State. I will take Arizona in this spot. I will quickly plug, if you have not already read it, Court Report Wednesday had a piece on Zeke Nagy. Zeke Nagy is the second best freshman in college basketball to Vernon Carey Jr., and he is absurdly talented at piano. Like, good enough at piano. Like, a lot of athletes can play an instrument. Grant Williams famously could play the piano when he was at Tennessee. Zeke Nagy is another level. He could have been accepted into music schools across the country. He's that good. So you have a genuine he might be the first round talent since Grant Hill that's that good at piano. So credit to him, and give it a look. There's some cool videos of him and photos when he was younger as well. I will take the Wildcats here. I will take them to cover. I think they've got more talent. Oregon's got the best player on the floor. Peyton Pritchard's the player of the year in the Pac-12 at this point. But this is a little bit of a tough ask for Oregon. I don't think they're going to win, and I don't think they're going to cover. Give me the Wildcats.
I'll take Oregon plus the 5. Arizona has been, we've talked about this before, just sort of a confusing team, because you could argue that just from a perspective of NBA talent, nobody's got better NBA talent. You know, I think according to maybe it was Sam Vecenie's latest mock draft, Arizona was the only team that had 3 projected first round picks in the country. And so they've got, you know, the necessary pro talent to be good. And they are good. The computers love them, but they've just sort of, it's just been one weird performance. And then they look great, and then there's another weird performance. I do think they'll win the game. Inside Book Richardson Center is a big advantage, obviously, but I'll take Oregon plus the points. Saturday, 10 p.m. Eastern, number 2 Gonzaga at number 23 BYU inside Brandon Davies Pavilion. You can watch it on ESPN2. KenPom's got it, Gonzaga -2.
If we're going to do this, like, it can't be Brandon Davies over Jimmer Fredette. Like, why would you pick Brandon Davies?
Well, let me explain.
Okay.
I really do put
thought in. Because he has an explanation for this right now.
I do have an explanation. Because I feel like he's owed that for when they ripped away his season because he decided to have premarital sex.
glad you can offer Brandon Davies some level of redemption on a podcast.
He is owed something. BYU was 27-2 in the 2010-11 season, rolling, looking like a one seed, maybe a national champion. And then Brandon Davies got suspended for banging his girlfriend.
It all went downhill from there.
It did go downhill. They went 5-3 the rest of the way, lost in the Sweet 16 to Florida. It did go downhill.
Yeah. Nice rally, though, make the Sweet 16. All right, Brandon Davies Pavilion inside on Jimmer Fredette Court.
I'm respectful of everybody's religion. I'm not trying to do whatever. But I'm also a big believer in premarital sex. Okay. I'm pro premarital sex.
Okay. I'm going to take.
If you ask me if I'm for it or against it, I'm always going to be for it. I'm for premarital sex. And so I stand up for Brandon Davies. This game will take place inside Brandon Davies Pavilion.
On Jimmer Fredette Court. All right.
That's fine.
All right. Fair enough. BYU is going to win the game. Cougs going to win. Cougs are going to do it. They're going to win. I'll say something like 89-85. BYU is going to get it. And when it does, it's going to improve its record to 23-7 and be a lock for the NCAA tournament in getting that kind of win. So I will ride with Mark Pope in his first season with the Cougars, getting them back to the NCAA tournament.
This is a game between two of the best three-point shooting teams in America. BYU shooting 41.9% from the arc. That ranks first nationally. Gonzaga, 39.4% from three-point range. That ranks third nationally. And, like, listen, it'll be like, you know, top five team loses to, you know, number 23 BYU. You know, it'll be a quote upset, and I guess technically it will be, but there's nothing crazy about BYU winning this game. Like I've told you before, their record doesn't look great on a surface level, but they're 14-2 with Yoeli Childs in the lineup, 14-2. And so they're really good when they're healthy and not, you know, when they don't have anybody suspended. And they're, you know, everybody's in the lineup on Saturday night. I will take Gonzaga just because I've been riding with the Zags for a while. They are number one in the top 25 and won this morning for the 54th consecutive day. I prefer not to have to adjust that. I'd like to just ride it straight into Selection Sunday. So I'll take Gonzaga to win the game. But obviously, this is going to be a really fun one. It's a neat Saturday in the sense that the two biggest games, at least from in my opinion, are super early and super late.
The day is bookended by the two most compelling games, and I think that's pretty cool.
Right. So you get a noon Eastern tip for Baylor Kansas, and then you get a 10 p.m. Eastern tip for Gonzaga BYU. So you're taking BYU. I've got Gonzaga -2. Sunday, noon Eastern, number 9 Penn State at Indiana, inside Christian Watford Hall. You can watch it on FS1. Penn State -1 according to KenPom.
Indiana could really do itself a bunch of favors by winning this game. Penn State's just trying to keep pace to keep a seed good enough so that it can get geographic preference for the NCAA tournament. Indiana is 17-9. It's coming off a needed road win on Wednesday against Minnesota. And again, just a reminder to listeners, if you've just lost track of this, we are providing you the projected KenPom line here. So the line could, in fact, be different when it comes out. This is a Sunday game, so it'll come out on Saturday there. I will take the Hoosiers to get it done. I don't have a ton of confidence in that, but I'll ride with Archie Miller's crew. Penn State's 20-6 and has only lost once in the past month. It's coming off that loss at home against a revitalized Illinois team that got Ayo Dosunmu back, and he went off for 24, had a great game. Credit to Illinois for snapping its streak. But yeah, mark me down for the Nittany Lions taking the L and Indiana getting a close win.
Jerry Palm has Indiana as a 9 seed right now. The Hoosiers have won 2 of their past 3, that most recent win being the win at Minnesota. So Indiana right now, 7-7 in quad 1/quad 2 opportunities with 0 losses outside of those first two quadrants. So if you want to, you know, pull above 500 in Q1, Q2 games, this is an opportunity for Indiana to do it. I'm going to take Penn State. In the year of Pat Chambers, this is the #PatChambers contract extension.
Okay.
You had a coach who entered the season on the hot seat.
Yeah.
Who is now in contention for Big Ten Coach of the Year, will definitely get a contract extension. And if he wins this game, then it puts even more pressure on Archie Miller, who is in year three trying to take Indiana to the NCAA tournament for the first time. I do think Indiana will get to the NCAA tournament. I think the win at Minnesota was not necessarily a turning point, but really good to get that one under your belt. But I'll take Penn State in this one inside Christian Watford Hall on Sunday afternoon. Sunday, 4 p.m. Eastern. Number 7, Maryland, at number 25, Ohio State, inside Aaron Kraft Arena. You can watch it on CBS, Ohio State -2, according to KenPom.
Yeah, obviously on David Leidy court. No doubt about that. One of the classic college basketball players of all time. Maryland has been looking tremendous. I'm excited for next week. I'll be there for when Michigan State visits the Terps. Right now, Maryland's 22-4, has not lost since January 14th. It's riding a 9-game winning streak. It's the longest winning streak since, I believe this might have been a trivia time a couple pods ago, but last time Maryland won this many games was 01-02 when they won the national title there. I'm going to pick them to lose in this spot, and I'm going to pick them not even to cover. I guess I'm a little surprised that it's only 2. Because Ohio State still rates well at KenPom. Its efficiency margin is still 12th best in college basketball, while Maryland is 8 overall. Buckeyes, if they can get a win here. They just lost at Iowa. They've obviously had a lot of turbulence since they started the season well, and Parrish found himself sexually attracted to their style of play. We don't need to go over that again, but that certainly did happen on a podcast, and someone played it back, or at least informed Chris Holtman, who'd had no idea what they were talking about. Shouts to Adam Jardy, but we are all about this podcast infiltrating press conference questions around this country. I will take Ohio State to win this game and to cover, and in doing so, I don't think you can call them a lock. They could still lose all these games and not be there, but they would really help themselves in a big way to get a high level quad one win in this spot.
Chris Holtman being asked what he thinks of me being sexually attracted to his offense is an all-time podcast moment. If you want to get a shout out on the podcast this weekend, if you're in a press conference at a college basketball game, ask whatever coach, it doesn't matter. ask a coach what he thinks it would be like if the NCAA tournament was a 7-game series. Coach, do you have to play a 7-game series in the NCAA tournament? And if you did, what do you think that would look like?
Okay. Yeah, I dare someone to do that. I'm sure all of the beat reporters listening to this are just going to be so eager, particularly after a loss. Yeah, bonus points there. If that happens.
Coach, do you think people realize that you got to put 4 teams in the Final Four?
Do you realize it takes 6 games to win the NCAA tournament?
Coach, do you think people understand? You got to win 6 games to get in the to hold the trophy at the end, and that doesn't even count if you're in the first 4, because then it's 7. Then it's 7. Do people realize that Ohio State, like you said, coming off Thursday's loss at Iowa, Maryland's got 6 quadrant one wins right now, 0 losses outside of the first quadrant. I believe there's only 7 teams in the country that haven't lost outside of the first quadrant. One of them is Maryland. All 4 losses are to top 30 net teams. That 9-game winning streak is impressive. They got a 2-game lead in the loss column of the Big Ten standings. They're going to be, I think, your outright Big Ten champions. That would be the first outright title, league title for Maryland since, as we discussed on a previous podcast, 2002 when they won the national championship. I'm going to take Maryland plus the points. Give me Maryland straight up. I'll take Maryland straight up. I think the Terps are going to keep rolling. They've been playing well. And Ohio State, you just never know what you're getting from them.
Yeah, that's true. Do we disagree on all 4 of these, by the way? I think we do.
I hope so.
Right? We do. We disagree on all 4. And as a
updated standings, by the way.
I do have updated standings. Would you like them?
Not really, but I need to update my standings.
All right. So I'm 38-36-1. You are 33-41-1 and have a chance at a strong, strong comeback here. So
33-41.
Yeah, and 1.
Yeah. Well, that stinks.
All right. So Before I get to my game, just a few quickies to keep an eye on. Michigan plays at Purdue at 2 o'clock on ESPN on Saturday. Purdue is bizarre, man. They're 14-13 and still have a shot, like a real shot, to make the NCAA tournament. They're going to flirt with the record of 15 losses being the most. They got to get these wins, so they got to beat Michigan at home. Then they get Indiana at home, and they still have Rutgers at home. That's three of the final four games. We talked about Purdue recently on a podcast, how fascinating they are. Michigan, you know, it's obviously in a much, much better spot there, but see if it can pull off a road win. NC State hosts Florida State. I'm not going to pick it for the N1 here, but that's just if NC State wins that game, then yes, it suddenly has a much stronger case. And meantime, as we mentioned earlier, Florida State tries to keep chase as well. That's a 4 o'clock tip. You got to have ACC Network in order to be able to watch that one. Villanova plays at Xavier. Xavier's another team that's on the bubble, and it's got a big opportunity at home against Nova. Another good Saturday tilt. That one will tip right along. Never mind, it won't. It'll tip at 2:30 on Fox. I was misreading the copy here. Marquette at Providence tips alongside Kansas-Baylor, and that's a noon tip. Both those games are on Fox. Providence has to win that to keep its at-large hopes alive. Similar to Purdue, it's got a very bizarre and interesting resume. So a few to watch there on Saturday, but my game is a Saturday tip. 6 o'clock on ESPN. You're going to find this game inside Tony Delk Arena as they play it out on Keith Bogan's court. Florida, Kentucky, preseason top 10 teams. One of them has tried to give chase and kind of keep itself near that. That's being Kentucky. Florida, meantime, has not. But here's the interesting thing. Florida is 17-9 and is 32nd in KenPom. Kentucky is 28th despite a 21-5 record. That loss to Evansville, even though it was only by 3 points, and the loss to Utah, even though it was only by 3 points, and the loss to South Carolina, even though it was only by 3 points, you take into account everything that Kentucky has done, what it's been expected to do at KenPom, and what it's not done in terms of the wins and not winning by as big of a margin. It's hurt them in the predictive metrics. I'm surprised that they're still only 28. KenPom has this game as a 5-point home win for the Wildcats. GP, who you got? Go Gator or Big Blue?
Well, I read that Nick Richards and Ashton Higgins both missed practice, maybe as recently as yesterday. And so, you know, are they both going to play? Is one of them going to play? If they, how healthy are they? All that is stuff to consider. I would assume at this point that they'll both play, whether they're 100% or not. Florida, I know they've been better, I guess, but I don't trust them to go into Tony Delk Arena and certainly beat Kentucky, and maybe not even play close with Kentucky. Like, you know, this team is, what have they done on the road this season? There's not much good stuff there. I mean, I'm actually trying to look for road wins.
They have three road wins. South Carolina, Vanderbilt, and A&M are all the road wins.
They won at Devon Downey?
Yes.
They won at Devon Downey Arena. They won at, what are we calling Vanderbilt?
We'll get there eventually. We don't have to figure this out all now. Let it organically. Next season, if Vanderbilt's got a game worth picking, we can make those decisions down the way.
For now, it'll be Kevin Stallings' gym.
No, it won't. I don't think it should.
It's Kevin Stallings' gym right now.
Kevin Stallings has a 3-year show cause because he cheated at Pitt and they were still horrendous and couldn't get an ACC win. We'll sneak in a little news bit and headline there. I don't think that we should put that on Vandy. Although, to be fair, he was a pretty good coach at Vandy. So
they've won at Devon. So Florida has won at Devon Downey Arena, at Kevin Stallings' gym, and at AC Law Fieldhouse.
Yeah.
And that's it.
AC Law the fourth, of course. The fourth. You gotta be clear about that.
AC Law the fourth field house.
That's right.
And so three road wins against three whatever teams. So yeah, they're gonna go to Kentucky and play them close. I mean, they probably will, but I'll bet against it. I'll take Kentucky minus the points.
Here we go. This is the one we have agreement on. I figure that's where we are heading. I will also take Kentucky minus the five there. I just think that they have enough. So yeah, we'll have agreement on that, and it should be a pretty good Saturday. This might wind up being the most exciting Saturday so far this season because you got Kansas Baylor being the best game of the season. It really revs up there, and I actually, for my purposes, I love the fact that it's early. I'll be able to fly home late, get back home to the East Coast late on Saturday night, and yeah, man, wake up, get some breakfast, get a little brunch in you, and then just dive right in. Huge game, should be a fantastic one, and keep an eye out. Thanks for listening to the pod, everyone. But also on HQ, I mean, I'm here, so I'm going to be on HQ doing interviews and stuff like that. And GP will be on HQ on Saturday as well. So be sure to have it on your phone, your computer, your smart TV, or whatever. Just if you love the podcast, trust me, we will not short you on the HQ side as well. Just wanted to give that a little bump too.
On Saturday, there's a tripleheader on CBS Sports. On Sunday, more games, the best one being that number 7 Maryland at number 25 Ohio State game that we discussed in the Final Four and won. So a lot of good basketball on CBS Sports and CBS Sports Network this weekend. Norlander will be in Waco, pop it on HQ nonstop. I'll be on CBS Sports HQ all day Saturday, previewing games, halftime of games, post-game stuff. So, yeah, like Norlander said, if you don't have that downloaded yet, put on your smart TV, go grab it. In the meantime, shouts to Devin Downey, shouts to Chester, South Carolina, shouts to Terry M.F. and Teagle. He's a legend. Shouts to Larnell. Please go subscribe to the Ion College Basketball Podcast via Apple Podcasts. Rated favorably. 5 stars, nice comments, and we will talk to you again on Sunday. Till then, take care.
Let's go!
It's the most all-star studded challenge ever, and this time it's every competitor for themselves.
Best challenge ever!
The Challenge All-Stars. New season now streaming on Paramount+. Go to ParamountPlus.com to try it free. Terms apply.